VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, and although it's a holiday weekend, we are here live and in color. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And as always, we are working on the holiday weekend because I can't think of a thing in the world more boring than a rerun of a financial show. And I promise you, if you listen to a lot of radio this weekend, you'll hear a whole bunch of those.
You sure will.
Not many people do it. I'm very happy the real estate people, the legal people, all choose to work. It's called Labor Day. You might as well labor.
Didn't think of that, but yeah, not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always been my philosophy, and I guess we'll just stick to it. Anyway, for those of you who are regulars, thanks for listening. We need you, as you know. Hopefully, you've grown very attached to us at the same time. And for anybody who's new to the show, just by happenstance or because someone's told you about it, welcome. Stick around for the hour, and with a little luck, we'll learn something. You can always learn what we want to teach you just by listening, but if you want to learn something that really matters to you, it's as easy as it could be. You pick up the phone and call 904-222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255. Callers will always get put to the head of the class, and we will take on your questions one by one. Adam has already told me today that I am going to take the role of a caller because... Or maybe he is. He's going to start asking questions of me as soon as we get through some things. So I'll be curious. He has not prompted me except that it's going to happen. I don't know one thing he's going to ask. You'd probably be amazed that some of my answers are very conventional, but others might be very unconventional. Of course, conventional is what a lot of people know, and a lot of people know things that just aren't true. So that should be fun. And besides, that way you can listen to what a caller might ask us. I know a lot of people are afraid to call radio shows. Only about 4 or 5% of the people who listen will ever call a show. And I think a lot of it is just very simply they're afraid to ask a stupid question. But there are really no stupid questions. A stupid question would be one you already know the answer to, perhaps. And even that I wouldn't consider stupid because I promise you listening out there, there are people who don't know the answer to those questions. Besides, always remember, never forget, your job as listeners is to make your hosts look good. The easier the question, the better we look. So, now that you've had your challenge, we had some things go on this week. Unfortunately, last week, we were lamenting the storm in Houston and the smaller towns, and really, unfortunately, this week, we're still doing it.
Yeah, no kidding. It was a really, really good week if you don't live in Houston. We actually even ended the month of August up. So all three indexes rose in August despite being down for almost the entire month. We had a really nice week. And Thursday, everything through Thursday was up. And then Friday added a little bit more. So it was a good week all around. And it's not because there was a lack of headwinds. There was. Plenty going on, including the storm, the media, that one's not going to go away. And then we also saw a somewhat disappointing jobs report on Friday, which we'll get to
not
in a
to
bit.
Me.
Well, I don't know. It wasn't my favorite report ever. I was hoping for a little bit more. But not all the news was bad. The natural disasters and also wars are horrific events that do occur. But they don't always, it's not always a bad thing. It actually can spur the economy. Think about all of the cleanup, all of the repairs to homes and businesses, the restocking of the shelves, the building of new homes, the temporary shelter. All of those things require people
Cars.
Who get paid to do those tasks or create those goods, deliver those goods. There's going to be a whole lot of economic activity spurred by this storm.
Cars underwater. And by the way, every time there's a flood, I try to remind people of this. Down the road a few weeks, you're going to start seeing some really good deals on used cars. There are telltale signs when a car has been in a flood.
Yes.
And you need to know those if you are even considering buying a used car for the next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Make real sure that that car was not involved in a flood.
This was a real problem after Katrina as
well. It really was. So just a little word to the wise. If you're thinking about it, you can find plenty of good used cars that were not flooded out. Don't settle for less.
So in other news, this year the broad market has really seen a decent rally with the S&P up over 10%. But there are areas that have been outperforming others. You may have heard me talk about how much better growth stocks have been performing than value stocks. So year to date, the highest dividend payers in the S&P have seen a 1.62% drop on average. While the S&P, compared to the S&P being up over 10, that's almost a 12-point differential.
I know.
So, yeah.
It's it bites.
One of our favorite ETFs is SDOG, and it has really underperformed this year.
Yep. It'll change.
Of course. Small caps is another area. They're down 2.1%, while large caps are up over 9%. So the worst thing you could do on this news that I've just given you is to go out and buy large caps and growth stocks. In fact, you should probably do the opposite. I know that surprises people, but you don't buy the one that's hot. You buy the one that isn't hot, because if there's one thing that's certain in investing, that will rotate. It never stays the same for long.
Shall we generalize a little?
Go ahead.
Bullish sentiment has dropped yet again.
Uh-huh.
Bearish sentiment has risen yet again. Buy, don't sell. Because the public, this is done by individual investors. It's a survey probably by the American Association of Individual Investors. But people are always wrong. As individuals, the market knows better, which is why we're up right now. If you look at what's going on, I'm sure Adam will get into some of this. Economic news drives the market, and the economic news is way different than it was last year at this time.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, last year at this time, energy was the number one performing sector on the S&P. This year, it is the worst performing sector, and this week was especially interesting in oil and gas. We saw the price of gas increase dramatically this week. In fact, I think the ETF that tracks gas on Wednesday was up over 7% in a day. Yeah, so
I'm smiling out loud.
Right. And oil kind of had the opposite effect. It drifted a little bit this week, and it's all due to the hurricane. And we saw the government release oil from the strategic reserve, something that hasn't happened since Katrina, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just been a really interesting week in gas and oil. And you have to wonder what the long-term outcome is going to be of this on the oil market, which has been so flooded with supply over the last year. It's hard to guess which way it's going to go.
Yeah, we're of two minds each on this issue, whether or not that was even a good idea.
Right.
And there are pipeline problems, too. So I'm not sure that that release, unless it's hauled by truck, is going to do a heck of a lot of good.
Yeah, I agree. And then the economic data, which we'll probably get into a little bit more after the break. I want to talk more about the jobs report. But the jobs report missed. It was supposed to be 180. It came in at 156. But there was good news. The ISM manufacturing report blew away expectations, coming in at 58.5. We haven't seen that number since 2011. So
yeah, there's a few other comments to make about that whole thing, too. And like I said, I didn't think it was an ugly report at all, but they're for reasons that just kind of personal, I guess. Anyway, we'll be back after a short break. The trivia today, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. It's going to be Labor Day trivia, and I'll give you the question real quickly. What day of the week was the first Labor Day celebrated, even though it wasn't necessarily called Labor Day? You've got a 1 in 7 chance of winning. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this is Good Morning, Mike.
Morning.
How are you?
Great. Enjoy your show, gents.
Thank you so much. What can we do for you?
I'm retiring. I am retired. Lived in Jacksonville for about 11 years, but we're moving west to be closer to the grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I've never used my VA mortgage ability, and my daughter tells me, who's in lending, the guidelines that are necessary to get a no down payment mortgage, which is something I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I qualify for the proper amount with what I've shown withdrawing from Social Security and what I've withdrawn from my SEP IRA account for the last 3 years. However, that SEP IRA account is pretty much over with, and most of my investments now are in another account that is not affected by a required withdrawal.
Okay.
Since that is coming to an end, what I've been able to withdraw from the SEP IRA account, my question is, I need to show, apparently, a regular income from my other investments. And the way I play with them now, they're in mutual funds, and I, you know, buy and sell them. My daughter tells me that it's necessary to show a regular income in order for me to qualify for the no down payment loan. And my question is, what are my alternatives, given the fact that I have a substantial amount of money, but it's in a investment account? I don't want to be talked into an annuity based upon most of the things that I've heard.
No, don't do that.
What alternatives would you foresee for me with that money?
Have you asked your daughter if there's got to be some sort of calculation using a assumed safe withdrawal rate from your investments that they could give you sort of an imputed income off of? I mean, 4% is the number that we usually use, and and even though you don't necessarily take that monthly, you have the ability to do that, and that I would think should qualify you as having an income. I mean, if you have assets that you can use to draw down on without even, it sounds like they're after-tax assets anyway, so it wouldn't even, I mean, I would think that there's a way to use that to calculate a theoretical income.
Well, the way I understood it was that's fine for a conventional loan, but for the VA, it might not work.
Seems very odd.
We're not mortgage brokers, and quite frankly, it's outside of our expertise. Have you ever asked the real estate people in the show ahead of ours who deal with a lot of VA mortgages? I think you need a second opinion who's not related to you, in other words.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it just seems odd that if you have the assets that you would not qualify for having a theoretical income.
Yeah, I've done this for people, but I did it for purposes of reverse mortgage,
which
is a completely different set of guidelines.
Okay.
And speaking of such things, have you considered buying on a reverse mortgage? Where you'd put half of your money down?
No, I have not.
that might be an interesting discussion. You go in, how far are you moving? Out of state or just to the west side of
California?
That's
pretty far.
Ways west. You might check it out. I know you're not looking to put a bunch of money into the house, but if you could buy the house for half of its value and reverse mortgage it and never make a payment, you're kind of sidestepping all that other stuff and live happily ever after with a very low actual investment in the house.
It's not a bad thought.
Candidly, at this stage in my life, the only thing that really interests me is what I'm paying monthly, and I would love to go out there and rent, but I haven't won that argument with my wife.
And you never will, I suspect.
No, not going to happen. Have you checked the website reversemortgage.com?
Okay.
And read up a little bit, and if you still have questions, I'll see what I can find out over the next week about VA mortgages, and if there's any way that's at least known to some real estate professionals or whatever as to how to get around this, and we'll talk about it next week.
But very kind of you. Thank you.
Well, consider that the reverse mortgage deal, and don't let people talk you out of it just because they say it's a horrible product. They're living in the past. It's not a horrible product any longer. It's a great way to go into something with no payments for the rest of your life.
Great. Okay, right. Thanks a lot.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, bye.
I'd be really curious to run the numbers on that, comparing the two options.
Yeah, I would too. He mentioned he had a substantial sum of money, which means he can put his hands on some of it if he wants to, because it's not tied up in taxable accounts or tax-deferred accounts. And if he's really looking to, out of their pocket, do as little as humanly possible, it might just work.
It may.
The reverse mortgage is much maligned, as everybody knows, but used properly, it is a wonderful tool. And we have Steve. Good morning.
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, I've got a sector-specific question for you. Airlines, and my reason for the question is, you know, with the flooding, saw a great photograph, nearly a dozen Delta airplanes appear to be underwater. Checked to make sure that that was actually, you know, it wasn't some hoax, but no, it was an accurate photograph. So the question is, the airline's potential maybe a short or buy puts or wait for a dip in bond dips, because I can't imagine that they're going to be insured for those are completely insured.
There's another factor going to hurt them in the short run, too. The price of fuel is spiking. So that's going to take away some of their profits.
That's true.
I hadn't even considered that. So I'm hearing kind of a quasi might be an opportunity on the short side.
I'm thinking that.
You know, the aerospace and defense industry has been super hot, and that includes some of the airline manufacturing companies, and it's just been on a tremendous roll for quite some time now. And I've been watching it pretty closely because I want to buy a dip in it, but I just can't find a dip. So
not yet,
but
it could be coming.
That's a really good question.
Look at the thousands of flights that have been canceled too.
It's so hard to make money buying and selling in this particular area because it's so cyclical, and month to month you'll see airplane orders jump around all over the map. So,
but maybe an out of the money put. It might be a great way to take some quick profits if you're dealing in options anyway. I like your concept a lot.
Yeah, it's not something we would do for our clients.
It's too risky for a CFP to do. But for a person who's familiar with the market and who's doing his own trading, I think you're very spot on with the damage that's going to be done to airlines. And Delta might be one. You could do it on an individual. You could do it on a group basis.
Yeah, I read also that there's not going to be as much jet fuel available because of this storm. So that, you know,
spiking prices.
Yeah,
you're right. These tickets are pre-sold. Their costs of operating are going up. That means their net is coming down in the short run, period.
Could happen.
Yeah, I think you're right on.
All right, so let me ask you the 180 degree opportunity. So I go short, take the, you know, if the gamble's right, they go down, and then do you buy on the dip?
Don't get greedy. Decide when you've made enough money. Otherwise, they'll turn on you before you realize what's happening.
Yep, and get squeezed. Yep.
And then you look for.
I've learned that the hard way.
Yeah. You know, if you got the time and the knowledge to do this kind of thing, I love your concept.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
And by the way, this everybody out there, don't try this stuff unless you're good at it.
Unless you really know what you're doing.
Yeah. I used to be a series, just to validate, a series 7.
There you
okay,
go.
Okay, good.
5 trader back in the day. So
there you go.
A little bit of marketing.
You're what we would call qualified.
Yes. Qualified investor. Yeah.
Excellent. Very excellent.
Very good.
Thanks, yeah, and let us know how it works out. We'd appreciate it. A quick thing. Yeah. Do you want to take a shot at a trivia question? What day of the week was the first Labor Day celebrated?
Oh, that is a tough question. I'm gonna go just out on a limb and say I'll pick Wednesday. What the heck?
Well, there are 6 other choices, and one of those is right. We appreciate it, though. Thanks so much. And good luck.
Gentlemen.
Marshall.
Gentlemen.
How are you?
You are fine. You were trying to figure out something on what's called asset dissipation.
Okay.
Yes. I like that.
That's a term that was created in what we call the private mortgage banking world.
okay.
a number of years ago, which were meant for the large, the jumbo, the not normal Fannie Freddie FHA VA business.
Okay.
It's creeped over into the traditional Freddie Fannie to a certain degree. But FHA and VA, to my knowledge, other than FHA allowing it to be used in reverse financial analysis, FHA and VA have stayed away from it because FHA and VA really wants to be the loan for the person who truly does only have modest means and is expecting to grow over time. The TV ads that you've seen of late pushing the VA loan for, say, our senior citizens, I just tell people, really be careful about that, because I have seen what some people have been shown by those national ads, and it was really sad. I mean, the advantage being taken of naive individuals. You also gave out a website. I'll give you one slight correction to that.
Okay.
ReverseMortgage.org.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
It's Mike, a nonprofit site.
If you're still listening, Mike, ReverseMortgage.org.
And that will give him so much totally neutral information.
What'd you think about my concept of using the reverse for a purchase like that?
You know, I love it because that's what I do for a living.
Yeah.
I would say this. I'm not sure how old the gentleman was, but I'll be honest with you. Going into highly volatile real estate markets, if you're moving and you're going to be there for a long time, yes, that's a great deal.
Okay.
But if there might be the possibility your kids might leave that area and you'd have to move, I don't know if that would be the one.
Okay, well, in other words, it's just like I said. It's always a good idea to look at it. It's once in a while a good idea to actually do it, and you have to ask a lot of questions.
Can I hold through the break to give you the update?
We'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. We will be back shortly. Pick up with Marshall. Just a little background on him. Marshall is a reverse mortgage specialist, as he mentioned, but his background for many, many years, he's up in my age bracket, sort of. He's been around a long time, but he is a mortgage specialist from many, many years. He understands these markets. He understands the terminology and all that. He was going to be my go-to person this week. I just happened to get him sooner than that. So we'll pick him up right after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have been talking with Marshall about all things mortgage. Oh, darn it. Marshall, my big fat finger might have...
No, I think he's still there.
Okay. I thought I made a mistake. It's the only mistake Earth I ever make is when I think I made a mistake, but I actually didn't, so I'm in error. Right?
Earth to Steve, come in.
I'm here, at least in spirit.
Thank you, sir.
All right, and for anybody who didn't catch the correction, Marshall reminded me that the reverse mortgage website is reversemortgage.org. So that's important. If you're gonna get a truly independent look at things, this website is a not-for-profit collection of the best information that the industry has, and it's very, very good if you're in a learning curve about these things. So where were we?
Just very quickly, and it's good we kind of separated from the advice to the history and the update for that. This week, FHA, due to not having a FHA commissioner having gotten through committee yet in Congress, had to make a decision about reverse mortgages before the end of the fiscal year. So since there was no general, you now have a group of lieutenants that went out and took the most draconian choice of the possibilities. What that means is, Like my wife and I were in the process of doing our reverse for financial planning purposes. Had we not been able to get going this month, there would have been 25% less money available to us, and the upfront costs would have gone from 0.5% for the FHA insurance to 2%.
Oh, geez.
So two dramatic items. We knew there was going to be some adjustment coming. Actuaries said there need to be adjustments, but it's just they went a little overboard in the adjustments that were made. So
shocking.
That's where people will have to deal with it. And believe me, on the purchase side, I have some folks that they can't apply until the end of the year. Well, it was a dramatic impact on them.
No kidding.
You know, how much money they come up with versus, you know, various things. So it is important, whoever is thinking about it, talk with their reverse professional. Make sure they understand the good, the bad, and the ugly. And if they're doing something, it's better sooner rather than later. I guess that's the bottom line.
Sounds like it
later,
to me.
Who knows if we'll get this changed in a year. You know, but that's the way things go. So
there are 140-some political appointments that Trump has made that are awaiting committees. And where do you suppose Mitch McConnell has been? Who knows? I'd like to say, yeah, who cares, except once in a while they actually have to work so we can get some of these people in there. Actions have consequences.
I truly hope that my favorite group now is the Cajun Navy.
Yep.
Okay. That, to me, that is the absolute example of volunteerism. And for all those people who dislike the Robertson family from Duck Dynasty, get alive, folks. Those are real people who really have a heart. I mean, did you see that line of boats?
Yeah.
Little boats.
Yes, I did.
On the interstate,
yep,
just wanting to come help.
Yeah.
You know?
Incredible,
okay,
isn't it?
I hope congressmen can start watching that and say, you know, maybe we need to get our little boat net.
I would like to think that some people would learn something from this, but I don't harbor that hope very much. If you're inside the Beltway for more than a couple of years, you just lose sight of America. The first time somebody says fly over country, it makes me want to beat the tar out of them. And how about this one, Marshall? The next person who uses the word optics, we all gang up and throw them out on their rear end. I hate optics. The quintessential Washington people. Optics. It's not what it is that counts.
It's what it looks like.
Yep. And which is also true in some businesses. There are some, shall we say, some of our competitors do the same thing.
Yet I hope that we use the optics of those long-haired bearded guys from the Cajun Navy.
Yep.
Okay? That's an optic. That guy helping out a family that's of a different race, creed, color, sex, get out of their house and out of their trouble.
Yep.
I hope we use that optic.
Well, I hope too. That's the only good use for the word that I can come up with. So we appreciate it. You want to take a shot at the trivia, Marshall?
How about Friday? Friday would be a day, your last day of the week. It would be a good one to have off.
Well, it would be, but that wasn't it. We have five choices left, folks. It's getting easier.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. All right. I wonder, let's wrap up a little bit more on this jobs thing. One thing I was telling Adam was one of the reasons I wasn't as upset when they missed the, quote, missed the expectation number. They've missed it by about 24,000. Over the last 20 years, they have always overestimated August by an average of 37,000. So apparently the, quote, experts do not understand that August is not a big hiring month. It's more of a transition month with people leaving the workforce, going to school, other people taking them there and coming back later, and people are not making a lot of changes in the summer. That should all start perking up after Labor Day. As we all know, the world as we know it perks up starting Tuesday, but especially on Wednesday, the business kind of gets back to normal. The kids are back in school. The college kids are off and running, and all that changes everything. So it's another case where the expectations are what people look at, and then they tend to let themselves get disappointed when it was really their expectations that were false.
Yeah, there was some other data in the report that wasn't very positive. Wages actually went down, which is I've been saying it for a month now. The wages need to start increasing. There's plenty of jobs
people.
Out there. Yep. Yeah, go find a new job that pays more.
Yep. Demand more money, you're going to get it.
You need it.
But that was just something I wanted to point out. And also, if you're an employer and you're watching what's happen, where consumers are the most optimistic in 16 years, and of course they drive the economy. If you're out there knowing that you're going to have to expand your business, there's a good news, bad news scenario right now. The good news is you probably have capacity left over from back when things were good in 06. So you're probably not going to have to spend a whole bunch of money building new plant and equipment. You might want to modernize and, of course, new electronics, that sort of thing. But the bad news scenario is that you don't really want to commit until two things happen: the repeal and replacement of Obamacare and the tax cuts. And whether or not they reform or just cut, which one of those two has gone anywhere? That would be neither. So we are handcuffing our business leaders and then complaining that they're not doing things. And you know, just look in the mirror, people in Congress. Hello, Mitch. Anybody seen Mitch and Paul Rhino? Ryan. Sorry, I slipped of the tongue. You know, some things are not surprising. They're just disappointing. And Congress is disappointing.
Definitely not surprising, though.
Definitely not.
There's a reason they have the lowest approval rating of any governing body.
Bottom line on all of that is it will get better despite them, but it'll get less better and it'll get there slower. You want to accelerate all this stuff and really put this country back to work? Just pass a couple of good laws. It's so simple. All right. What do you want to talk about?
Well, so the Wall Street Journal put out an article this week about questions that you should ask a financial planner if you're interviewing them. So I wanted to ask you, and for the record, I have not shared this with you prior to this, but I wanted to ask you the question, see how you did compared to their recommended
answers. Nor did I read the article, so I'm truly going into this blind.
Right. So I wanted to compare you, because they put suggested answers that you should look for in the questions as well. So we'll start with the obvious one. Are you always a fiduciary?
Yes.
And you will state that in writing?
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone else ever pay you to advise me? And if so, do you earn more to recommend certain products or services?
No.
Good. Do you participate in any sales contests or award programs?
Never.
Will you itemize all your fees and expenses in writing?
Absolutely. We need to interrupt because we have a call and we're not going to be able to do anything except say hi and can you hold through the break. Hi, Captain Dave, can you hold through the break?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted you to know that we're on top of it. All right, a couple more quick questions before we run.
Are your fees negotiable?
Sometimes. Is your situation negotiable?
Will you consider charging by the hour or retainer instead of annual fee base?
We do not do that. Other people do.
Can you tell me about your conflicts of interest orally and in writing?
Absolutely. Should any arise, you will be the next to know.
All right. I think we got a break.
Yep, we do. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll catch Captain Dave and see what's on his mind. So we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And Captain Dave was kind enough to hold through the break. What's on your mind today, Cap?
Did you find out anything about that 2 million ounces?
I Googled it every single day since we talked, and I cannot find squat. Isn't that weird?
Weird.
Yeah. I Googled it by date, by year, all kinds of things, and it just won't. Oh, and I binged it, too. I don't want to be discriminatory. I just can't find anything. Adam, do you have any luck?
I did not, and you would think at least some of the conspiracy theory websites would have it.
You would, wouldn't you?
I couldn't find anything.
And yet it was a headline. I mean, I did see that, but it disappeared. You saw it, Adam, last week.
Yeah, I did. I saw it.
And then nothing.
No. It's just as strange as it could possibly be. And it's almost like somebody either retracted the bid or retracted the news.
I wonder who wrote that initial report. I'd love to track down the reporter and ask about it.
Yeah. It's just, like you say, I haven't been able to find anything, just as you have. You can't find anything. It's just like it never happened.
Right.
But there's an old saying that says, who controls the past controls the future. So if you're going to eradicate the past, maybe you can pull off doing this thing again.
It's not easy to pull something off the internet either. Usually it's out there for good.
Yeah, that's it. Finding some trace of it through a search. You do a typical Google search on anything, you get 547,000 hits in a fraction of a second. Can't find this one. Very
that's
strange.
Amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, have a great Labor Day, guys.
Well, thanks. Same to you. You want to take a shot at the trivia question?
I didn't even hear it.
What day of the week was the first Labor Day celebrated, and it's not Wednesday or Friday?
Sunday.
It's not Wednesday, Friday, or Sunday.
Well, that's good.
Thanks for the call. You have a good one. Now we're down 1 in 4, folks. You can do this real simple. All right, carry on with the questions.
Uh-huh. For you. Do you earn fees as an advisor to a private fund or other investments that you may recommend to clients?
No.
Do you pay referral fees to generate new clients?
Never.
Do you focus solely on investment management, or do you advise on taxes, estates, and retirement?
All of the other aspects of personal financial planning we advise on, even though we do not prepare taxes, we advise and plan on taxes.
Do you earn fees for referring clients to specialists like estate attorneys or insurance agents?
Never.
What is your investment philosophy?
Make a lot of money and be happy.
That's not true.
Oh, that's not good? The three most important words, remember in real estate, they're location, location, location. The three most important words in investing are diversify, diversify, diversify.
Do you believe in technical analysis or market timing?
The CFP board is very much against technical analysis, so I'm going to say that I don't use it, but I certainly pay attention to it. Market timing is impossible. Don't even try it.
Do you believe you can beat the market?
I can beat the market 1 out of 100 times if that's what the average person can do and not a bit more.
All right. How often do you trade?
When necessary or when the client makes the request.
How do you report investment performance?
We've reported on an actual basis, net of fees, quarterly.
Which professional credentials do you have, and what are their requirements?
CFP, which is the most extensive of any. You can read about them if you go to the CFP website and read about it. You have to take college-level approved coursework and then pass a humongous test. It takes a long time to do. And it's worth it once you get it, but boy, it becomes a tough slog for a while.
Okay. After inflation, taxes, and fees, what is a reasonable estimated return on my portfolio over the long term?
Depends on what you're aiming for, but our clients generally say between about 5 and 8 is what they would like to do consistently over their lifetime. But some years...
After inflation. Though.
After inflation, okay, 2 to 4%, hopefully after inflation. And remember that in any given year, 8% might be a pathetic return.
That's true.
On any given year, minus 3% might be a fantastic return. You've got to always go long term.
Lastly, who manages your money?
Me, partly, and you, partly.
Okay. All right, so out of those, they gave the suggested answers. You differed with their opinion on one, and...
That's because they were wrong.
Actually, 1.5. So
they were wrong.
Out of 19, not bad. You did well.
No, there's a good reason for it. One of them was the hourly thing.
Right.
Our practice is not large enough that we can take the time to do that. We would be competing with the core of our business.
Yeah, we'd really have to hire a paraplanner or another planner to do that.
Well, that might happen someday.
Yeah. But
right now, it's not in our business model, so we don't, and we'll happily refer anybody who needs that kind of service to someone who does it.
We have a good one, actually.
We gave that referral sometime in the last 10 days, I think.
Yeah, I emailed someone about him.
Yeah. You get the right inquiry, and you know the right person for it. I'd much rather have them go somewhere that isn't us, but have that somewhere be someone we trust, because you can lose your own reputation by suggesting somebody who doesn't work out. So yeah, you got to be careful about those things.
Not going to give their name out of the air because this is our radio show.
Exactly,
but,
right.
But if you call me, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, and if somebody's really in the mood for that kind of thing, yes, those people are out there. And one thing Adam has been very active in is the local Financial Planning Association, Chamber of Commerce, and that sort of thing. And he's meeting a lot of people and finding out what makes this town tick. So a little of that will help us do those things. But most people, if they're looking for a true independent financial planner professional, we find that a lot of people go to one of two places or two of two places, the CFP board, mm-hmm. Certified Financial Planner Board, and both of us are, and NAFA, the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, which is an organization that can only be joined if you are truly fee-only. Fee-based doesn't cut it. We've talked about it many times. Fee-based is a wrap account. A wrap account is a smokescreen over a commission-based salesperson.
Yeah. In fact, we'd really like to see the fee-based title go away. It's really it's a way to sound like you're fee-only without being fee-only.
Exactly. And you'll find in a lot of wrap accounts, there'll be mutual funds that are B shares, C shares, A shares. They're making a lot more money off of this than the 1% wrap fee shows.
Exactly.
You know, I've had an occasion this week to look at a variable annuity that was sold by one of the big wirehouses.
Do they qualify as that? They're
big
more
financial outfit, yeah, whatever.
The one you find in your local strip mall.
Yeah. Anyway, annuity had this fancy, real nice sounding life insurance company name on it. Find out they're a wholly owned subsidiary. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But I think it ought to say under this thing, a wholly owned subsidiary of this company, so that you realize that when they're selling you this annuity, they have been led to that wholly owned annuity. There could be 1,000 other better annuities out there that they didn't sell you because that's a conflict of interest that's built into the system but not disclosed. Speaking of disclosed, you see what they're doing to the fiduciary rule?
Dismantling it, basically.
Yeah, well, they're going to put it off until it dies.
Right.
They just gave it 18 more months. The fiduciary rule, if you ask your financial professional, are you a fiduciary? And there's anything that comes out of their mouth except what you heard me say, yes, immediately, then they're not. That means they don't have to be putting your interests ahead of theirs. They can sell you these wholly owned annuities or anything else they want just to make more money.
Yeah. And
say no.
Yeah, we fully support the fiduciary rule and wish everyone had to be held to it. But at the same time, when we're competing against someone who isn't a fiduciary and someone knows what the difference is, it really makes us look good. So it's not that it would really help our business if everyone was held to the same standard. We just think that it's the right thing to do, because why would you want to pay for bad financial advice?
Exactly. By the way, I did not get the Robinson Landscape plug in today, but I did want to mention it. You can call Troy at 662-9794, knowing that as of last night, he's my son-in-law.
That is correct.
How about that? So we had a little event last night. We've been planning this a long time. It finally happened. We're very, very happy. All right, a little history of Labor Day. Back in New York City in 1882, the first Labor Day was celebrated on a Tuesday, of all things. Then in 1884, New York changed they kept the event, but they changed it to the first Monday in September. And then, just by coincidence, on my 18th birthday, Congress, and boy, was that a long time ago, but I digress, the Uniform Monday Holiday Act was passed. That took effect in 1981, making it permanent except for one thing. Do you know the one that was changed away from a Monday holiday?
Thanksgiving?
No.
I don't know.
That was never made a Monday holiday.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
It was Veterans Day, which is November 11th.
That's right. The day after my birthday.
And our wedding anniversary, Sarah and I. And so you got a lot of easy ways to remember these things. But Labor Day itself sprung off of New York City. Well, it has raced by today, and we'll see you next week live and in person. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.